right, Kyle Dubas will call in here in just a moment. Nick Foligno has signed in Boston. So Nick Foligno's on his way to Boston, and he was just speaking with Duffy and the boys at TSN here.
Yeah.
And he said at one point he was close to coming back to the Leafs. But he said, quote, "There's no hard feelings. I'm competitive. I would have liked to finish what I started there, but it didn't work out that way," end quote. And he didn't really get a lot of play. Like the last month and a half, there hasn't been a lot of discussion revolving around him, you know, us included. Like, we didn't focus a ton on the idea of him coming back. I always was of the belief he was going back to Columbus
or
Minnesota
with
his brother.
Yeah, like, the only thing that makes me think is that number's not ridiculous. Like, I think he was at north of five on his salary last year.
He was,
yeah. And to see him sign for just over three. Now, it's a two-year deal, and I know you have to be mindful of every dollar. But, you know, he ends up moving on and talks about his daughter's surgery in Boston and no hard feelings towards the Leafs. It's unfortunate because I think he didn't get his 100% here in Toronto.
No, that injury was pretty significant.
He was injured, and he's such a quality person, too, yeah.
Yeah, he obviously loved being here.
Yeah.
You know, his dad played here. He grew up, you know, in Sudbury or played in Sudbury in the OHL, and now he's moving on to Boston. Here is the GM of the Maple Leafs back on Overdrive, Kyle Dubas. How you doing, Kyle? Nope, I don't think we have Kyle. We'll see if we can patch Kyle in. That could be an issue on our end.
I thought maybe I was sitting on my IFB cord.
Like, this is great. I'm back in studio for the first time in months, and the phones aren't going to work.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you, Kyle. Yeah. There you go. Is that on our end or your end? Oh, this is good. This is like the Babcock interview. Remember when we had Babcock on?
Yeah.
And it just kept dropping and dropping.
It's all right. I mean,
it's fine. Yeah, we handle this like professionals.
Yeah, it's not amateur hour.
No, it's never amateur hour.
Here's the thing. I'm actually glad that we're going through this because it makes me feel like we're on live radio.
We're back
TV
again.
And we're back.
We're back.
Because we haven't had that real feeling sitting in our offices at home.
Right. Maybe the Wi-Fi goes down or something like that. But this, you know what the beauty of this is? It's not our fault.
No.
Because we're in the studio.
We blame somebody else.
Someone else will take the blame.
It's his fault.
Yeah, we'll blame Al's brother. And I think Kyle will be willing to do that too. Do we have you, Kyle?
I'm here.
Yeah, Al's brother's messing around with the phone lines. I don't know why he's doing that. But thank you for doing this. We were just talking about Nick Foligno, who signed in Boston. I guess he was just on TSN, and he mentioned that at one point he thought it was close to coming back, you know, to Toronto, and maybe he was open to that idea. Can you tell us anything about those discussions? And at any point, were you maybe hoping that Nick Foligno would return as a Maple Leaf?
Sure. Yeah, I think we you know, gave it our best effort. As with most of our own UFAs, but obviously, you know, I just don't think we were able to match the what he received, and no hard feelings on our front. You know, we knew the risk when you acquire a rental coming in that they may leave in free agency in the summer, and also that, you know, they could get injured, and unfortunately, both of those came to fruition with Nick. But wonderful person, was great to get to know him, and you know, he'll be a great fit for Boston.
Obviously, Freddie moves on, but I don't know if you knew. I'm a big fan of Mrazek, and he was the guy that I kind of circled for a couple organizations, and you end up landing him. Just talk about that process and maybe how excited you are to have him in the fold, because you're going now more from a starter-backup situation to more of a tandem situation with Peter and Jack.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jamie. We were very excited to get Peter, and I think, you know, never having gone really through that before here. I mean, last year was sort of such a strange way it went for us with the goaltenders. You know, Fred was carrying the ball early in the year, and then he was hurt. Jack was hurt right from the first game that he played, and then he came back and obviously went on a terrific run. So it kind of felt like that last year for us, and Michael Hutchinson was solid for us in the games that he played. So it never felt to us like it was, we ever had a real tandem. It was sort of whomever was healthy was playing, and Jack, you know, stood tall as he went down the stretch and then into the playoffs. So we were very happy with Jack. The key for us was finding somebody who we thought had the talent to challenge and push Jack, but also support him, and preferably somebody who'd been in a tandem type situation before. And obviously Mrazek has done that in Carolina for the last number of seasons. He also has experience, you know, carrying the ball as a full-fledged starter prior to that. But we just feel really good about the two of them and where it all ends up settling, and think that the two of them will push each other. It doesn't just rely on one person and one person's health. And then we also feel good about the depth that we have behind them with with Hutchinson and Eric Shelgren, who's coming over from the SHL where he won a championship, and then Joe Wall and Ian Scott. So we've experienced it here. When you don't have depth in that position, it can be really, really difficult, and we just wanted to really protect ourselves here as we head into the season, knowing the type of structure we were going to go with Jack Campbell and then a partner for him.
At what point did it become clear that Freddie Anderson, his time in Toronto, was going to come to an end?
I think probably a few weeks ago, just with the final discussions between Brandon Pridham and Claude Lemieux, Brian, that Claude felt that the money would probably be better elsewhere, and that came to fruition today. And we're so happy for Fred. He was, you know, for 5 years here, he carried, you know, especially I think the first three seasons, four seasons, a lot was asked of Fred in terms of the load that he was asked to carry, and he pulled through for us throughout. So, you know, he's a wonderful person off the ice, and obviously a very, very talented goaltender, and is rewarded with that contract today with Carolina. So we wish him all the best, and you know, we'll look forward to seeing him here down the road.
Obviously, you bring in Mrazek, like you said, you have full faith in him going basically any night. He's been in the league for quite some time. His stats a couple of years ago in particular were very quality, and he's familiar with being that tandem goalie. But Jack Campbell performed exceptionally well for you last year. Smaller sample size for sure, but setting records within the organization. I thought he played really well in the playoffs. But history of injuries popping up for him. And again, he has not shown, and maybe has not been given the opportunity to run with it and turn into a legitimate number one. Is that still a possibility? If he plays the way he did last year, Campbell, could you picture a scenario by the end of the season where it's not actually a tandem and Campbell's a legitimate number one for you?
I think certainly, Brian, part of our thinking on it was that, you know, we've got Jack under contract for the year, and then, you know, next year we have to make a decision on him, and we'll have conversations with Kurt Overhart, his representative, here as we go through the summer. But our feeling on it was that, you know, we want them both to challenge and push, and obviously, if they're both playing at an absolutely elite level, that's great for us. If one of them steps up and absolutely runs with it, that's outstanding. In Jack's case, obviously, down the stretch for us this year, he started to show that. And, you know, in order to do what's absolutely best for our team, we felt like we needed to have somebody else there until he shows that repeatedly and consistently. But he's going to get every opportunity to do that with us. And that was part of the rationale as well, with, you know, making sure we got strong value on the contract, is that it didn't box us into any corners as we move forward with our salary cap. If Jack does take that step, and we can still have good money committed to our goaltending, and be able to reward him as he shows what he's continued to be able to do.
Chatting with Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs. The Leafs have been active today, signing a number of players, including Peter Mrazek, as we've been pointing out, to a 3-year deal. But the news leading up to this day had more to do with a guy who was leaving in Zach Hyman, and I think the cat has been out of the bag for a while. We've been well aware that he's going to Edmonton. He signs a 7-year deal today. How do you replace a guy that plays a style of game that can be difficult to find? And I'm not sure a lot of your guys on your current roster necessarily bring to the table. So how do you go about piecing together what Hyman has brought to your team for quite some time?
Yeah, he's a very difficult player to replace, Brian. There's no doubt about that. I think what we're going to be counting on is the continued growth of our own players internally. And then, you know, with signing David Camp, it allows us to be more flexible. So you can potentially put Kerfoot onto the wing as needed. And Kerfoot has shown that great versatility has been such a strong asset for us. And he's kind of been able to go back and forth and be able to play both of those roles. So that's been outstanding. And knowing we have that is great. The other side of it is, you know, we took a shot today with Michael Bunting, and he plays, you know, though he's not the same size as Zach, the way that he plays, it's been a much shorter sample, but it's just trying to find players that kind of fit that same sort of profile and can play that same sort of way. And I also hope guys on our roster like Ilya Mikheyev and Pierre Engvall look at Zach and the way that he played every day and think, geez, like, they have the physical attributes to do that. They have the speed. They each have the tenacity, the ability to push the pace up the rink, and, you know, the door will be wide open for them as well. So it's there for guys to grab it. And then the other part of it is we still have a good amount of cap space, and we'll hold that and be ready to pounce if players come available in trade, or as we get into this, you know, kind of second wave of free agents as well that may fit that mold. But you know, we're not going to be able to replace Zach. He's on and off the ice, an excellent person and player for us, and we wish him well. But you know, it's a great opportunity for others to step up and for others to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, Kyle, we were talking off air while you were doing your Zoom, and basically, you know, it's hard for us, and I'm sure you intimated the same thing, as you can't really talk about your team because your product's not done yet. You've got, you know, the rest of the summer, you've got some cap room, so we'll maybe talk about it more closer to training camp. But I guess you mentioned the word growth for your group, and is there a change in mindset, whether it's from your thought process or right down into the dressing room, of who you want to put in the room? And what I mean by that is, in previous years, it's been guys like Marlow and Thornton, where been more, I'll call them father figures, guys who are great in the league, great people, you know, great mentors as far as on and off the ice. But you're seeing, you know, Austin and Mitch and Willie and guys like that, you know, now they're more mature, they're getting older. So do you get away from that and you're just looking to build the best roster possible and having to get away from that, for lack of better words, the father figure situation?
I think we've got, I mean, we still have, in terms of leadership and players that have been through a lot in the room, Jamie, we still have, you know, we've got Jason Spezza and Wayne Simmonds right. And Jake Muzzin returning, and, you know, suddenly, you know, Morgan is 27 years old, and you've got TJ Brody in there as well. So, like, I think I really like the character and the leadership that those guys bring. At the same time, you kind of alluded to it there. Certainly, we're looking for, you know, we're looking to give our younger leadership group the chance to grow and right. And kind of take hold of the room and make it their own. And I think that's when, you know, we'll really sort of to begin to take those steps, when Austin and Mitch and William and all the others that are part of that, those are the younger guys. And of course, you've also got John and Jake Muzzin and Morgan and TJ Brody, Campbell, now Mrazek. But when those younger guys really begin to find their stride as leaders, and they're still, you know, 23, 24 years old, and it right. doesn't happen overly fast for these young guys, but it's certainly there. And I know it may not be easy for the public to see because of the way that the season ended, but we see it when we're in there every day, the way that they're growing and beginning to take hold of things and make this their team. And I think, you know, once they take those final few steps, they're obviously elite players and they're wonderful people as they take those next few steps and on the leadership side, which they've already taken massive steps in, we'll finally hit that breakthrough that we're desperately looking for.
Well, how unsettling is that, Kyle, that you won't know that growth has taken place until there's playoff success, like ultimately, right? Like that's what yeah. we're talking about here. After 5 years of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, we know what they can do in the regular season. I think most people expect Matthews will score 60 next year, Marner will have 110 points, but what are they going to do games 5, 6, and 7? Like what's going to happen? And ultimately, that's what it comes down to, does it not?
Well, I think that's the way that every in our sport and every sport and in professional sports in North America, Brent, I think that's the way everybody in the end is judged.
Right.
You know, you see it, and you know, I can only take the most recent examples. I think Tampa, you know, they pushed through and their group ascended that, right? They were, you know, criticized the same way. You know, you look at basketball and the Milwaukee Bucks win and their group is seen the same way. You know, they're going to be great. You know, they're going to be MVP contenders in the regular season, but what are they going to do when it's all on the line? And I don't want to compare ourselves to those groups. And I know that, you know, I just, because we're our own separate being, but you know, I think that is very common in sports, that elite talent has to go through this a lot of the time in order to get to where they want to be in terms of team success. And, you know, I think we're going through that now, and that's why we have belief in them, is that we've seen their growth and how they operate behind the scenes every day from when they were 18, 19, arriving here for the first time and trying to figure out what it's like to be a professional. And we've tried to surround them. You know, you kind of listed off the names previously, or Jamie did, the types of veteran players we've tried to surround them with. And now you see them being the ones that are taking those same steps, even though they're just 23, 24 themselves, and finding their stride on the leadership side. So that's exciting for us, and in the end, we know it. We know that there's nothing that we can answer on that front until we get there again and have our shot at it again and do everything that we can to help our guys be prepared and prepare ourselves to, when that moment comes, next season and the season after that, that we're ready to attack it and break through.
Chatting with Kyle Dubas, GM of the Maple Leafs. You know the way this market works. Leaf fans are going to be mocking up their lineups starting today, and even though you just said it's incomplete, there likely will still be more players added at some point. It's just a matter of time, and I'm curious as to, you know, who is within the farm system that you think has a legitimate shot at impacting this upcoming season? Which young players do you think could fill roles up this upcoming season and potentially actually have like legitimate shots at every night type roster spots and maybe making an impact on this upcoming year?
Sure. I think up front, it's two guys that have had time with us before, one more than the other, but Nick Robertson, certainly, he was injured at the end of the season, so not a factor in the playoffs or end of the regular season and playoffs for us. But, he's still 19 years old and has already played a fair number of games for us in very strange circumstances between the bubble last year and in this season. But Nick would certainly be one candidate that we're looking at to continue to take steps and challenge, and the other would be Joey Anderson, we acquired last year from New Jersey, had a good year for the Marlies this year, played up one game for us early in the season, and was injured at the end of the season as well. But we'll look forward to getting them in and rolling. And then on defense, we've kind of rounded up our depth there on D. And then we'll also we've got Mac Hollowell and Christian Rubens and others that were on, spent some time on the taxi squad that we think will push for time in the NHL this season. So, there's those guys, and there's the ones that have mostly been on the roster as well, right? To kind of get, they're still very young at 20 and 21 years old, but they tend to get, forgotten as you go through these different cycles, and Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, that we're going to be counting on to take big steps for us next season and take hold of opportunities and not to look back. And then in net, we've got Joe Wall as he's a third round pick in 2016 and really found himself late in the year with the Marlies in his second pro season. And so we're very excited about what we have there. And then I think, most importantly, what's on the way in terms of draft picks from, 2019, 2020 that are starting to turn pro and just need some time to develop with the staff, with Growlers in Newfoundland or the Marlies. But we're really happy with our farm system and where it's at, and just want to continue to push all these guys to challenge for the roster and roll from there.
Well, it's been an active day for you and the whole league for that matter. I mean, it's a flat cap, yet the money's being spent. There's a lot of money flying around, and there's been deals, and I'm sure it's not going to slow down anytime soon. So good luck the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll do it again come the fall, and we always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you, Kyle.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. There's Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs. And at some point, again, like those, there's going to have to be some kids that filter in here.
Yep.
And he just named off a fair amount of guys. Robertson, Joey Anderson is not someone I was.
Yeah, I didn't.
I had on my radar. Right. I knew they acquired him last year. He never was really an option for the team, but that would be ideal in large part because they're cheap.
Right. You push, like, push through, and
you have guys that can play on the cheap. That's huge. But they have to make an impact. They have to be able to play. They have to be ready.
Right.
And that's on the players and the development, the system.
Well, that's the one thing that I think Toronto's done very well is they've created, like he was talking about Josh Hosang, and we're going to get him in here. We're going to get him working out. We're going to get him like kind of under our umbrella.
Like Galchenyuk, basically.
Right. But they've created an umbrella where guys can go. They can work out. They've got all the resources in the world because the Leafs have nothing but money and resources.
Yep.
So, quietly, that's what you're hoping some of these guys through. Robertson has a good offseason. All of a sudden, he shows up. He's 10 pounds heavier of muscle, and he feels a little bit more comfortable. And, yeah, you're coming off an injury. But I think that's what you're trying to do as far as an organization is continue to build and have these kids push through that are on the cheap.
Absolutely.